Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. We are in the Beginnings Ministries. We are here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. I'm Brother John along with Dr. Suzanne this evening. and along with our guests. We are an interactive Bible study, and we just love to have you to come on and interact as we discuss the Bible. For those who are listening by internet, if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. 347-237-4054. We're going to have prayer, and after we have prayer, we're going to dive into the Bible. And tonight we're looking at the scriptures of Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. That's Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. And we're just going to discuss what the scripture says. And again, we just look forward to each and every one of you to participating so that we can just digest the Word of God. And hopefully those who are listening, or someone may be listening, may be truly blessed by what you or we may say. Amen. We are a body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And we thank each and every one of you each and every Wednesday. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we pray that you would just give our minds clarity. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just unveil the mysteries of your word, Heavenly Father, so that we may be able to understand, Heavenly Father, and speak it correctly. We ask, Heavenly Father, for all those, Heavenly Father, who are listening. Father, we ask that you bless the sick and afflicted. Bless those, Heavenly Father, who are less fortunate. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, that your word, Heavenly Father, would manifest to the ears of those who are listening, Heavenly Father. Lord, Father, we just pray blessings upon each and every hearer, and we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for all those that come on to be a part of it. We just acknowledge you. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen, amen. Okay, we're going to, again, we're looking at Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. I'm going to read it through, and then we're going to just digest it. And for those of you that are listening by phone, if you hit number one, we can pot you in on your mic, or sometimes we just even open up all of the mics because, you know, you may want to speak at a certain time. We may miss that opportunity, and we don't want to miss that opportunity. Amen? The scripture says, reads as such, therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Never give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying that which is minister, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Amen. I went up to 29, and verse 30 is, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And finally, verse 32, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to start off with 35. Therefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Amen. I have a mic for those of you 240-641, and the other numbers I'm going to open up in case you would like to conversate or, you know, to dialogue on this. And we do appreciate you sharing with us this evening. Therefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Amen. Looking at this, it's speaking of lying one to another, lying one to another. The tongue which we speak, we can either speak blessings or we can speak curses. And it says here that in that time, that when we begin to start to lie or we deceive one another, it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. And what the word is saying here, that we should not lie to our brothers or our sisters, because we are one body. We are one body. We are members one of another. We all belong to Jesus Christ. And if we belong to Jesus Christ and we are all brothers and sisters of Christ, then when we are lying one to another, or we are lying one of another, then we are really hurting the body. Amen? We are hurting the body, because it's one. We are all one under the umbrella of Jesus Christ. And when we begin to start to lie one to another, we begin to start to hurt the body. And there are those who see us as believers when they see us lying, then we are held accountable for our lies. We are held accountable for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why here we are to speak the truth at all time. We are to speak the truth at all time. We are not to put on any false impressions. We are to speak the truth. And when I think about the truth, I think about the Word of God. We are accountable under God by what we say. We are accountable for our actions.
Would
Amen?
Would you read that scripture again? The,
25?
Proverbs 25.
Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We are members one of another.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at habits that we develop. When you tell one lie, it grows into another, and we continue lying.
Again, and that was Proverbs 25?
No, mm-hmm. Ephesians. Ephesians 25. And we are accountable. We are accountable. Amen. Any comments on that before we move on? Any comments? I do have your mics open.
Yes, I just want to say good evening to Dr. and Elder Clay. Listen, I just want to say that it's true, when we lie to one another, we do hurt the body. But even to go even further than that, since we are the image of God, a lot of us forget that when we do lie, or when we do lie, we're lying to the Spirit of the living God. You know, we forget all the time that it's not just the brother or the sister standing in front of you, but we have to give an account for what does come out of our mouth. Because, like I said, we are the body of Christ, and the Spirit of the Lord lives in us. And when we lie to one another, we're lying to him, because we are of his image.
Amen. Amen.
You know?
Amen. And we do hurt one another. When we lie, we hurt one another. We hurt one another.
Can we go back?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to go back to Ephesians 4:17. Is that okay? In fact, let's go back to 14, because this whole section is about that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Amen.
Mindful of who we are in Christ. Wow. I'm going to go back to 12. Why is it that he gives, and I'm reading from the Living Bible, why is it that he gives us these special abilities? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity until finally we all believe alike about our salvation and about our Savior, God's Son, and all become full-grown in the Lord, yes, to the point of being filled full with Christ. So we're supposed to become mature and completely filled with Christ. So we can't be sidetracked with denominations and who's doing what and jealousy, that if we abide in Christ and we honor the abilities and use the abilities that he's given us and appreciate the abilities of others and not be jealous of them, then it says, then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will lovingly follow the truth at all times, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and so become more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is filtered together perfectly, and each part in its own special way helps the other parts, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So we can't be sidetracked. We have to know that we know that we know that we know what we believe in, that our theology is solid, that we have a foundation and we understand ecumenically what the word says. Our purpose is in the body. Then it says, let me say this, then speaking for the Lord, live no longer as the unsaved do, for they are blinded and confused. I want to stop there just for a minute, because today I was listening to the radio about how the world, it was yesterday, how the world and the church, you're not seeing too much of a difference. Because we're supposed to influence the world, but instead the world is influencing the church, and we have more and more worldly behaviors coming into the church, and we're accepting that and not saying anything about it. The divorce rate between Christians and non-Christians is just about the same. You know, the behaviors that you're finding in the church, we're pussyfooting around and letting things happen. Should not be happening. If we are operating as Christ operated, we would confront it and expel it immediately. Okay, and then it says their closed hearts are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds against him and they cannot understand his ways. And that goes to what, like, my pastor was praying this preaching this past Sunday, and actually I saw it on Facebook too, about people reject, they pray about something, but if it doesn't come out the way they want it, well, then they reject God, assuming God hasn't answered or God doesn't care about them. Sometimes the answer is yes, just like with parenting. Sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is wait, you know? And we don't get our way if we could are not answered if it doesn't go our way. And as a mature Christian, you need to be able to accept whatever the Lord says, whatever he says. If it's yes, it's always yes, no, wait. So let me go on. I'm at 19 now. They don't care anymore about right and wrong and have given themselves over to impure ways. They stop at nothing, being driven by their evil minds and reckless lust. And we see this all the time, where people are just do their own thing, or church, they call themselves Christians, and even church leaders, but operate in a totally different man under a different manifestation during the week. You know, it's only in the presence of God's people that their behavior appears to be right, appears to be godly. But on the other hand, they're operating in true unrighteousness beyond that. But that isn't the way Christ taught you. If you have really heard his voice and learn from him the truth concerning himself, then throw off your old evil nature, the old you that was a partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through, full of lust and shame. So we need to quit pretending, because the pretense doesn't fool the Lord. He can see beyond that. He can see it.
Amen.
He can see it, and it's only a matter of time before it catches up with you and the light is shown on it. Now, your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Yes, you must be a new and different person, holy and good. Clothe yourself with this new nature. So every day we have to put away lying ways. We have to be honest. It says stop lying to each other. Tell the truth, for we are parts of each other. And when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. So we have to stop lying. And lying isn't always just verbal, but lying can be in the way that you try to portray yourself. Lying could be in the pretense, the way try to carry yourself, or the impression that you're trying to make, what you insinuate in your behavior, what you insinuate in your actions, you know, what you insinuate, pretending to be rich when you know you can't pay, when you live in check to check like everybody else, pretending to be above everyone else, or more holy or more spiritual than other people, when in reality you are not. Being able to admit that you don't know. Being able to admit that that you need the Lord to renew yourself every day. So
Amen.
The Lord wants us honest, to be honest with ourselves, to be honest
mm-hmm.
with one another, to be honest in our
mm-hmm.
prayers, you know, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, if you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. For when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. That we're supposed to be in control at all times. That you maintain your control by not letting your anger, going to bed with anger on your heart, by not being by being forgiving and not being holding a grudge, you maintain control. So forgiveness is not only for the other person, but forgiveness is for you. You can't be free if you're holding a grudge. You can't be free if you have unforgiveness in your heart. You're giving somebody else control over your emotions, control over your well-being. Then the word says, if anyone is stealing, he must stop it and begin using those hands of his for honest work so he can give to others in need. So we're to be positive. We're supposed to be in God's timing, always not giving the devil a place, and to be positive, always ready to give. And then it says, don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to and what will give them a blessing. So we're supposed to be graceful. We're supposed to be tactful in dealing with each other. We're not supposed to let corrupt language come out of our mouth. We are supposed to speak life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying that for years, and I hear it more and more lately, but we have to speak life to situations, speak life to what may seem to be dead, but speak life to what may seem to be failing. Speak life to your children. Speak life to your mate. Speak life to those that you work with. Speak life to difficult situations, and the situation
mm-hmm.
will change. It's the speaking and the saying it that makes it change. It makes it better. The Lord, Father God, spoke it, and it came to be. He spoke the earth into being. He spoke the sun and the moon into the sky. He spoke us into existence. It's the spoken word. So we should be graceful and tactful in our communication. We must be honest, and we must speak life.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say, don't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, he is the one
who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. So we're supposed to speak truly, and that the Holy Spirit is keeping an account in whom you are sealed until the day of redemption. That's who we're sealed in, the Holy Spirit of God. So we need to make sure that we live a righteous life, that we live, that we are sanctified, that we commit our lives to Christ daily, that we ask for forgiveness of our sins, that we approach people, those that we may have offended, and we ask them to forgive us. We must be able, be ready to speak life to people. We must be honest with ourselves and with others. We must always be in complete control. We must watch our timing, because the timing is everything. Wherever the Lord places you, it's a place to be blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. There are no accidents in Christ. You're there for a reason.
Amen.
There's a God. There's a God appointment and a God occurrence that is to take place when you're placed there. How are you? How are you going to minister? But we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We have to make ourselves available. We have to be open to the things of God. We have to be prayerful, continuously prayerful. Then the word goes on to say, and I'm at 31 now, stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry, quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you, because you belong to Christ.
Amen.
So we're not supposed to gossip. We're not supposed to be slanderous. You cut off your own blessings by gossiping. Sometimes, and I'm human. I'm human, and I'm going to be honest, like the word tells us, to be honest and to be truthful. I can catch myself into what goes into gossip, and I have to stop myself. The Holy Spirit will speak to me. There's a feeling that the Holy Spirit will rise up and say that I'm being a slanderer, a gossiper, to put someone down. So we're supposed to bless people, even those people that harm us, even those people that talk against us. Say, Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. Ask the Lord to bless them, even though they may not be kind to you, for the Lord to bless them.
Amen.
These are biblical, that's a biblical blueprint for resolving conflict, to just be tenderhearted, to be honest, to be in control, to watch your timing, to be positive, to be graceful and tactful, to speak life, to be private and clean about yourself, watch the way that you're living, keep yourself together, be clean about yourself, clean in your thoughts, clean in your speech, clean in your appearance, clean in your lifestyle, clean in your physical living condition. We're supposed to be clean. Excuse me. And lastly, to be forgiving, to be non-slanderous, to be not to gossip, and to speak life again.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good word. What a good word. Any comments? Anybody would like to comment? 240-631-770. I'm going to pot you up right now. And if you would like to make a comment, again, we are an interactive Bible study. We have somebody who's listening by internet who are not has not tuned in. So we become a blessing to those who are listening by internet, being that they cannot communicate on their from their computer. Amen. Any comments?
Well, I'm sure glad about this tag team right here. And Dr. Suzanne, I'm glad that you, went a little further. And it's true. This is talking about us, how we should be, and how we should portray Christ in our walk, in our speech, in our everything, and how we should act one to another. This is so good. This right here is really good. And it's funny, I had a Bible study earlier today, and we were talking, speaking on those same very things. about how it's so good. The Holy Spirit is definitely given a witness.
Praise God. Thank you.
You know, and I think so much about this, you know, my sister, in terms of how we are supposed to be, you know, in terms of renewing, you know, we are to renew the spirit of our mind. You know, and I like that in 4:23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then it goes on to say that you should put on the new man, which after God is created in true holiness. So we came in this world as sinners. We came to this world as sinners. So our minds, everything is corrupt, and we're supposed to lay all that aside. We will lay all that. Once we come to Christ, we lay all that aside. And, you know, in Ephesians, it talks about, you know, renewing of our spirit and our mind, thinking different, acting different, walking different. We don't do the same things that we used to do when we were hanging out in the streets. When we were, you know, cussing and drinking and going the whole nine yards. Come on now. I know some of you have been there. Amen. But we don't do that anymore. Once we come to Christ, you know, we become a new creature. We become a new person. We become right. We're created in righteousness and holiness. And so we're supposed to conduct ourselves in that manner. Amen?
Amen. And not to put so much strain on the new Christians coming in, knowing that each day is a day-by-day process. Now, when you come to Christ, yes, you can be cleaned up. Some people are cleaned up all at one time. But then there's some, they have to go day by day. But knowing this, knowing that if you stay in there and you seek God even the more, those things will fall off after a while, so to speak.
Amen.
Every day is a day.
Every
day a new beginning. Hey, there's a plus in the beginning.
Amen.
It's
and,
a new beginning.
You know,
so you
can
over.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
770, you're on.
Somebody's.
Also, a good thing to do is to, when a new convert comes in, is to kind of line them up with someone who has some stability in the church.
Oh, absolutely.
That way they could kind of minister unto them. That's what we do. And a lot of times what I'll do is when we have someone new, you know, man match up with man and women match up with women. And when I see someone new, I kind of pull them, you know, give them my number and tell them to call me. I reach out to them. And when they struggle and I don't see them, you know, I'll make a call.
Amen.
Because, you know, they have to be around positive people. And they have to be
around
someone who's already been, you know, through the war, so to speak.
Amen.
And so you have to reach out, and you have to be, the leaders of the church have to be aware of the person's situation, what they're coming from, what they've been involved in. And then you can match them up with someone who has been down that road.
That's good right there, brother.
Yeah.
That's wisdom right there. That's good.
That's good. And you know what? Can we go ahead? Something?
Yes.
Okay, you know what? Now, remember Ephesians, what we just read in 4, from 4:12 to 31, was talking about not grieving the Holy Spirit. And brother, I like what you said about the new convert and sister, about how we have to be patient with them and how we are to be models for them, that the way they learn is by observation. It's not necessarily, we want them to learn the word, to be able to quote scripture. Some folks though can't quote scripture very well, like me. But I can read. But I can read. And I can watch. I can read the word, and I can read the people that are before me. So we're supposed to, as mature Christians, supposed to do the mentoring and modeling for those that are coming behind us.
Amen.
To show
Amen.
Them how to live in Christ. And you have to learn that. And as they get, the more and more they mature and the more they come to know those of us who are mature, the more they'll begin to change, the more they'll desire to be like they follow. So So you hear about people that said that they drank, you know, they drank all of their adult life, and then one day, you know, they didn't drink anymore. That they, you know, joined church and they lost the taste for it. Your desires begin to change. Once you become saved and you start seeking the Lord and you start seeking Him in the church, in the Word, and those people that are put about you, and that's what I'm saying is the church, not necessarily the church body, the church building, but the body of Christ, that you desire to be more and more like Christ. Mm-hmm. You desire to be more and more like Christ. So those things that used to distract you, those things that used to haunt you, the cravings that you had, the urges that you had, the addictions that you have, no longer fight you, no longer torment you like they did before, where they had to be satisfied, because your longing becomes to be Christ. You long to be loved. You long to express the love of Christ. You long to be closer to Him. And it begins to take away those kind of urges. If we go on to Ephesians 5, if we have time, do you have time?
Sure.
Okay, if we go on to Ephesians 5, now Ephesians 5 is talking about learning what pleases the Lord. So does anybody want to read, or you want me to read? Okay, Ephesians 5. Follow God's Ephesians 5, 1, and again I'm reading from the Living Bible. Follow God's example in everything you do, just as much love, child, just as a much-loved child imitates his father, full of love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away your sin. And God was pleased, for Christ's love for you was like sweet perfume to him. Let there be no sex sin, impurity or greed among you. Let no one be able to accuse you of any such thing. Dirty stories, foul talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, remind each other of God's goodness and be thankful. So these are ways that we're supposed to live a life pleasing to God, to do those things. Now, the best way to do those things is to put yourself in the company of people who are also doing the right thing. So if you're in the company of people that are doing the right thing, the more you'll become like those people, or the more you'll begin to practice what those people are preaching and teaching. So it says, you can be sure of this. The kingdom of Christ and of God will never belong to anyone who is impure or greedy. For a greedy person is really an idol worshiper. He loves and worships the good things of this life more than God. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible wrath of God is upon all those who do them. Don't even associate with such people. So you have people that make excuses and say, well, this is the way God made me. This is the way I'm supposed to be. This is the way that it's been. And, you know, that's the way, or the biggest one is that this is a family thing. This, my mother was like this. My father was like this. My grandparents were like that. And this is why I'm like that. You can't make an excuse for your sin. Make an excuse for the bondage that you're in. That bondage can't be broken. There's no sin. There's no salvation. There's nothing that the blood of Jesus will not cover. All of that can be covered by the blood. It says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible wrath of God is upon all those who do them. Don't even associate with such people, for though once your heart was full of darkness, now it is full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. Your behavior should show it. You should speak it. You should walk it. Because of this light within you, you should do only what is good and right and true. Verse 10, learn as you go along what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness, but instead rebuke and expose them. it would be shameful even to mention here those pleasures of darkness which the ungodly do. But when you expose them, the light shines in upon their sin and shows it up. And when they see how wrong they really are, some of them may even become children of light. That is why God says in the scriptures, awake, O sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. So some people are dead spiritually and going along in their sin, whether they have chosen to walk a sinful life or if they've been in bondage to it from birth, from generation to generation, you know, or whether it's been, or whether they're oppressed. Whether they're either way they're oppressed, but and whether they have come under that type of bondage from the enemy, they are asleep. They're not awakened to the things of God, and the way that they awake to be is to, through prayer, through supplication, through somebody fasting for them, for somebody speaking life into their life. Okay, verse 15. So be careful how you act. These are difficult days. Don't be fools. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity you have for doing good. You have a purpose in the body of Christ. Every opportunity may be a God appointment, and that's me talking. Don't act thoughtlessly. This is verse 17. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Don't drink too much wine, for many evils lie along that path. Be filled instead with the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him. So the Lord wants us to live a purpose-driven life, purpose-driven by Jesus Christ, purpose-driven by the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to live a chaste life that won't grieve the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to live a chaste life, a good life, good, clean living, that we would live with the Holy Spirit. It says, talk with each other in verse 19. Talk with each other much about the Lord, quoting psalms and hymns and singing sacred songs, making music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks for everything to our God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Honor Christ by submitting to each other. You wives must submit to your husband's leadership in the same way you submit to the Lord. For a husband is in charge of his wife in the same way Christ is in charge of his body, the church. He gave his very life to take care of it and be its savior. So you wives must willingly obey your husbands in everything, just as the church obeys Christ. And you husbands, show the same kind of love to your wives as Christ showed to the church when he died for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word, so that he could give her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish, being holy and without a single fault. That is how husbands should treat their wives, loving them as part of themselves. For since a man and his wife are now one, a man is really doing himself a favor and loving himself when he loves his wife. Amen. No one hates the body, but lovingly cares for it, just as Christ cares for his body, the church, of which we are part. Well, you know what? That last part, that's space for a study right there, versus, which we've never done, John, which we should do is Ephesians 9:9-33. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You all know I'm excited.
Yeah, basically, you know, for that, you know, we're just making preparation for the kingdom. We are making ourselves for the kingdom. So in other words, with our time that we have, that we are to use our time wisely. Use our time wisely because we are preparing day by day for the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Any comments? Any comments? We'd like to hear from you.
I wanted to say, speaking back with the new converts on things, it's very important that the new convert, in order to sustain and to grow, they must stay in the Word. And what happened with me when I was a new convert, my wife, she was more or less around church people. Her family was, you know, in the church, and where my family, we didn't involve too much in the church coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got out on my own, once I understood what Christ, you know, I knew Christ, but once I understood what salvation was,
mm-hmm.
I still had some bad habits, but I had to stay in the Word.
Amen.
And stay under the Word. And I had mm-hmm. a good preacher that continued to mature mm-hmm. me in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And although I still had faults, God will speak a word through the message, through the preacher, through the pastor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I heard the message, it was for me. I knew it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I did as a new convert, I listened to that message, and then I applied it. So as a new convert, you have to be attentive to the Word. You can't sit
mm-hmm.
in church and not be listening to the Word, because there's a lot of people that come to church and they really don't get nothing when they leave. They get
so
up
true.
And they don't know that the Word
so
is
true.
On.
So true.
You have to be attentive to what he says, because
mm-hmm.
somewhere in that message there's going to be something for you. And
mm-hmm.
there was something for me each time as a new convert. And once I heard it, I applied it to my life. And God
yeah.
honored it. And he took whatever devices that I was caught up in, he removed it. And
okay,
when the first time it got removed, I realized, okay, God is with me.
Mm-hmm,
and I understood how to listen to the Word and apply it to my life. Now, as you become more mature, you have to have a more mature ear, and then you have to step out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But once you are a new convert and you haven't heard the Word before, you are just like a baby. Every time you cry, God will come with the milk,
mm-hmm.
and he will
mm-hmm.
feed you. And that's what happened with me in my life. And as I matured, I stayed under the Word, and I learned how to use that Word and grow. And then I do the same thing with others, how God worked with me, I work with others. If I see somebody, because I had a lot of things that went on in my life, so I'm a good witness to a person because I've done a lot of things. Not
mm-hmm.
right, but, you know, I'm not proud of, but that's where God can use me, because I'm there and I'm open, and I'm
mm-hmm.
open and I'm ready to be used.
Transparent.
So we got to understand to stay under the Word, and then also use what we heard to put it in action.
And, you know, that's so mindful about God, because he knows your heart, and he knows that when you want to be right, sometimes
Amen.
Things tug us left and right. But when he knows that you want to be right, he'll surround you. And just like the brother said, you know, when he went to church, you know, the Word basically convicted him. You know, because he wanted to be right. He wanted to do right because he loved the Lord so much. And when you have such a love for God and you want to do the best that you can to serve him or to seek him, he will set it up for you. He will
Amen.
Set it up for you.
Amen.
I'm a witness to that, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. I think we all are a witness to that, you know. And the beauty of it mm-hmm. is, that we all serve a purpose.
Yes.
We all serve a purpose. There is a each one of us have our own purpose that God is using
mm-hmm.
us for, you know, and there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work to be done. We have to constantly stay on our job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
mm-hmm.
cannot post, you know, because there are so many that God will send our way, and we are to bless them. We are to tell them the truth,
mm-hmm.
tell them about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not just, you know, the old shot talk, you know, or the talk you normally use. We are to minister to them. And we have to recognize when those come before us, if we're not talking, if there is not a spiritual conversation, then God has plans to use us to minister to them. Amen?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You never know. You never know who's watching.
Amen.
You never
Amen.
Know who's watching.
Mm-hmm.
As I think I was saying today, So many people are going through so many things.
Yeah.
They may be smiling. They may be smiling.
So
but
true.
They may be crying. And, you know, so,
amen.
So we just never know what others are going through. And God, he wants to use us to be able to encourage them, to lift them up from wherever they are, to speak life into that situation that they may be going through. And they're looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for that. So, you know, we become accountable when we miss those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So, my brother, I'm blessing that you identify, you know, those newcomers or those who are going through some things, you know, that we're able to share because you've gone through a lot. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, that is true. That's what we're all supposed to be doing.
Amen.
So that is a true blessing. That is a true blessing. That is a true blessing. Amen. We are all preparing. We are all preparing. We are preparing. We are preparing. God is there. He's coming back. He's
and
coming
you know,
back.
And
what is
he
about? Can I have something?
Mm-hmm.
Comments?
He most certainly is, and coming back. And, you know, just like our sister Suzanne was saying about in the church, how sometimes we're living like the world, you know, and where is the world going to, when the world needs help, who can they come to? And we're supposed to be the healing hospital, so to speak. You know, if we're acting like them, there's no power. There's no power to deliver or even speak a word that's proper
Amen.
To the world
Amen.
That's coming in, or those that
Amen.
Are coming in. And we need to pull the coattails of the people that we see are in error and do it in love. But let
Amen.
Them, you know, not only walk the walk and talk the talk, but to pull their coattail and let them know, you know, you're going the wrong way.
Amen.
That's not the way to act.
Amen. I was thinking about it's almost like someone in a boat, you know, and
mm-hmm.
they're just in the boat and they're having a good time, just enjoying the water, enjoying
right.
the breeze. You know that as they continue going, that
mm-hmm.
water is going to pop and there's going to be a drop.
Right.
And I will warn them before they get there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Warn them before they get there. If anything, we want to save, make sure the lives are saved, not destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It has been, it has definitely been a blessing sharing with you this evening. 770-631-24, any comments before we close out? We have maybe about 7 minutes left.
No, I just want to say that each and every one of us that are believers, we need to make sure that every day that we go out there that our light is lit up.
Amen.
Others can see and walk the right way, walk upright.
Amen.
And
Amen.
We can't. There's a lot of Christians that we come to church, we get the word, and then we go out and we do our own thing. We
mm-hmm.
got to walk right
Amen.
Even when we leave the church.
Amen.
Because we are the church, and we have to realize that we are the church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, not only that, my brother, you know, and for those of you who's listening, you know, we don't always get it right the first time. We
mm-hmm.
fall. We all fall short. Amen. We all fall
Amen.
Short. We fall. We sin every day. We have to ask God's forgiveness every day. So
Amen.
Don't think that for those of you that's listening, you know, that you may be afraid or shy of coming to Christ because
Amen.
You can. Right. Listen, it's a daily walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a daily walk. We grow daily. So,
mm-hmm.
again, we all fall short. We sin and we fall short. We make a
mm-hmm.
mistake. We make mistakes all the time. But the thing is that we ask God for his forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
So, those of you who listen, please understand, you know, we all fall short. So it's okay. It's okay. God picks us up. And he puts us right back in the race. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now think of the
Amen.
Word, the race does not go to the swift, but it goes to those who endure to the very end.
Amen.
And
that's
end,
it right there.
We're trying to make it to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
This was great.
My God, my God. It's just wonderful when believers come together just to share a word, but not only share a word, but also what has happened in our lives, how we have fallen short. You know, that we're not perfect. We make mistakes on a regular basis. And we're constantly trying to be more like Christ. And that comes
Amen.
With praying and studying the Word of God. That comes
Amen.
With praying and studying the Word of God. We have to do that daily because the Word reminds us of how we're supposed to act. Amen?
Amen.
I'm a guy, how we're supposed to live our lives. Amen. We're looking at 1 minute, so we're going to be closing out right now. Again, for those of you that tuned in, we're New Beginning Ministries. We're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Amen. From 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we'd like you to enjoy us. And we are an interactive Bible study, meaning that we love to interact with you. So when you call in and you hit number one, you become a part of the discussion panel. And we love to hear from you. Amen. I believe next week we have Elder Rose from out of Atlanta will be speaking with us. So we will be joining in with her. But until next time, remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
All I have is lost, it seems.